Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk hosts as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Let me give you the rundown of what we have planned in today's show. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, Joshua Briscoe is going to join us. He covers the Chiefs for Sports Illustrated. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs' loss against the Buffalo Bills, and we also are going to look ahead to the remainder of the season for the two-time defending Super Bowl champion. We are also going to be joined by Richard Deitch. He covers sports media for The Athletic. There's a lot to discuss. We're going to talk to him about the future of streaming in sports, Netflix. They had a big weekend this past week with the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight. We're also going to get his thoughts on the future of baseball's television contracts. If you guys missed it yesterday to end the show, a lot of the local baseball deals are all up around 2028, and that coincides with the national TV deals. So baseball is looking for a completely new television package. Why does that matter to you? Well, the Royals are looking for a new television partner, and a lot of people believe that they are going to sell their rights directly to Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball wants to basically create NBA League Pass. They want to get every team on there, and they want to outsource it. They want to eliminate local blackout rules and just, hey, you paid us directly. You paid your $200. You put it on your smart TV, and you can follow your favorite baseball team for $162. We'll see how things break down. I do want to get Richard Deitch's thoughts on that coming up in just a bit. There's a lot to get into between now and then. The Chiefs play the Carolina Panthers coming up on Sunday. We'll discuss that next, but first, let's give you a chance to win a pizza.
Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. Call number six wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tassio. Pizza Tassio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They got locations all across the metro area. They got one in Waldo, Belton, North KC, OP, and Midtown. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether you're hungry enough for just a slice or two, or you want yourself a whole pie, be sure to visit them now. PizzaTassio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
All right, I need you guys to do a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. It'd be great if you could tell two friends, but you know what? If you just told one friend to listen to the show, you know what? I would be very excited. Let's talk about injuries to kick off today's show. Now, you know what? This is going to be positive. I don't want you running to the dial here, but let's talk about the injury bug and how it has affected the Kansas City Chiefs. You could probably put the Chiefs near the top of the list in the NFL for injuries through the first half of the season. The Chiefs at one point were missing their left tackle. They were missing their number one, number two running back. They were missing wide receivers. They were missing top defensive players. The injury bug really took a bite out of the Kansas City Chiefs. But as we head into the holidays, you know what? The injury bug is kind of starting to fade away, and the injury luck is starting to turn around. Isaiah Pacheco practiced today. Charles Omenihu practiced today. You're starting to get some guys back healthy. Let's start with Isaiah Pacheco, starting running back for this team. He has been a very capable back over the past couple of years or so. Let's hear what Andy Reid had to say as Isaiah Pacheco was practicing. He practiced last week. He practiced this week. Let's hear what he had to say about having him and Kareem Hunt in the backfield and how it's going to come together.
Just how you could employ both of them.
Yeah, we'll find a way. Both of them are good players, so we'll find a way to get both of them in if and when that takes place. So, but, you know, That's a good problem to have.
I'm not necessarily as concerned with how they're going to make it work between the two. You got two capable backs. I trust that they will find the right rhythm and balance between those two guys to make sure that they're both getting the necessary work to be ready for the postseason. Rob, we've had this conversation. If there's 20 carries to divvy up between the running backs, how would you do it? I would give Isaiah Pacheco the majority of those carries, but there's no doubt that Kareem Hunt certainly has a place on this team, should get short yardage opportunities, should get passes out of the backfield. He is a very instrumental asset to this team, so I don't want to diminish his role on the team. Let's talk a little bit more about Isaiah Pacheco here. Now, I'm not trying to speak out of turn about the Carolina Panthers, but they stink. They have been the worst team in the National Football League for the last 2.5 years. I don't care that they've won their last two games or that they look a little bit better. This is the team that's going to select in the top five of the NFL draft. You know who you don't need to beat Carolina this weekend? You don't need Isaiah Pacheco. Now, I'm not saying you treat this game like a preseason game for everybody, but if there's a player that is on the fence, a player that is a 50-50, I don't know why you would side with playing that individual. If I was the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Isaiah, you know what? You're going to get another solid week of practice. But once we get to Sunday, you know what? We're not going to see you out on that field. Now, if you are ready to go, we are very happy to have you play on Friday against the Las Vegas Raiders. It's a short week. We have been using Kareem Hunt a lot. We're going to let Kareem take the lead here for one more week. We're going to give him his normal usage. We're going to play this thing how we've been playing it. We are not concerned with this one individual game. It is about positioning ourselves to get back to and win the Super Bowl. This is how I would play it. I would play Kareem. I would not play Isaiah Pacheco. I would not play Charles Omenihu. Those two guys will continue to sit on ice for one more week. Both of those individuals would play for me on Black Friday. It's a home game. It's a divisional game. Certainly more important than the game against the Carolina Panthers. And even after playing those individuals, you get sort of a mini bye. You get Saturday to recover. You get Sunday to recover. Monday, Tuesday is an off day around the National Football League, and everybody comes back to work on Wednesday after spending some quality time with the family. Isaiah Pacheco, we're not giving you your helmet. Charles Omenihu, we're not giving you your helmet either. You guys need to continue to practice, and trust me, we are getting you ready. Those two guys play in the game on Black Friday. You get an extended rest. You get them ready for the final six games of the season, and you are ready to go. That's how I would play it if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. They are not the only injured player right now that's in the news for Kansas City. Let's hear what Andy Reid had to say about Hollywood Brown. I think Hollywood's going to play this year.
I can't tell you time when he'll be back, but he's another one that is excited to get back out here and get going. So I appreciate his the way he's approached this whole thing.
So that was Andy Reid earlier today when talking about Hollywood Brown. Now, some of you will get this analogy, some of you won't. Do you guys remember a few years back when Michael Porter got hurt early on in the season? And if you were following it, Michael Porter was leaving little breadcrumbs, and no one that covered Missouri would completely put to rest the idea that Michael Porter was going to come back and play. And the team also didn't really put to rest those rumors, and the rumors kept growing and growing and growing. And then I think it became kind of known in Missouri circles, well, Michael Porter is going to play at some point. We just don't know how healthy he's going to be. We don't know what his conditioning is going to be, but we believe that Porter is going to play at the end of the season. Does that not feel like what's happening right now with Hollywood Brown? We're getting the little cryptic tweets. He is very much engaged in this season and how things are going. And we had a doctor on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we are talking about just a shoulder injury. Nothing else is wrong with Hollywood Brown. He fell on his shoulder wrong. He needed surgery because it was not healing properly. They believe that they have went and they've got that fixed. And now it is, do you trust that shoulder? How is it going to hold up getting hit in NFL games? So I can't tell you where we are with Hollywood Brown. He's not practicing yet, but I'm going to trust that he's staying up on his conditioning. I'm going to trust that he's staying up on the playbook, and he is still very much engaged with this offense and everything that's going on. I am looking at it that we are possibly 1 month away from Hollywood Brown coming back. The game that this team plays a month from now against the Houston Texans, That's a game that Hollywood Brown should be playing in if he's going to play this season. And you were looking at the Christmas game at the absolute latest if he is going to play this year. And based on what you are hearing from basically everybody that covers the team and is around the team, I think there's a lot of reasons to feel optimistic about it. The Chiefs could have squashed these rumors about Hollywood Brown a long time ago. He's out. He's not coming back. You see, we don't do this with Jalen Watson because Jalen Watson ain't coming back. You don't fracture your ankle in the middle of an NFL season and come back and play that year. You don't play until the next season. Hopefully that Thursday football game is the Chiefs are the defending Super Bowl champions. That's when you come back to play. You see how we're not having this conversation about Rashee Rice. We're only having this conversation about Hollywood Brown. I firmly believe that Hollywood is going to play at some point this season. You are a month away. They play the Texans on the 21st of December. If you can have him in that game, he plays. I know it's a quick turnaround, but he plays in the Christmas Day game. You then get an extended amount of rest to get ready for the game against the Denver Broncos, if you even need that game. And then you're ready to the postseason, and hopefully your team has locked up a bye week. So we could be talking about Hollywood gets his own version of preseason where you get one, two, maybe three games to get right and get ready, and then you're ready for the quote regular season, but this regular season would be the postseason. That is a formula that makes a lot of sense to me, and one that I think the Chiefs are going to try to push him towards if he's physically able. So it's certainly something that we're going to track over the next couple of weeks or so, but I still firmly believe that Hollywood Brown is going to play. And if you missed it, Andy Reid commented earlier today on Isaiah Pacheco. Isaiah Pacheco would not be playing on my football team this weekend. You don't need him. Remember, Therese used to say that running backs only have so much hits in your body. I'm not letting you take any hits against the Carolina Panthers. No, that's what we got Kareem here for. That's what Carson Steele is here for. That's what Samaje Perine is here for. You can take hits against the Raiders. You can take hits from the Steelers. But you don't need this game to get you prepared. You play on Black Friday. You've got some rest. You have more than enough time to ramp Isaiah Pacheco up and have him fully ready for the postseason. And that's what I expect the Kansas City Chiefs to do. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe of Sports Illustrated, who covers the Chiefs. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm sure this has happened to almost every single one of us. Rob, this probably happens to you maybe once, twice a week as a married man. Have you ever been sitting there and you and your wife are just having a conversation? You're laying there, you're bonding, and you're having a conversation. Maybe it's about one of your friends. Maybe it's about one of her friends. And you guys kind of come to the conclusion, man, it would really suck to be them. You know, I'm glad I'm not them. You guys are laying there and you're happy and you're thinking about how in love you are, how good and stable your relationship is. And she starts telling you about her homegirl from work or her friend. And in the end of it, you think, man, that sounds kind of bad. I'm happy that we don't got to deal with this. As Chiefs fans, you guys should be having that same conversation about the New York Jets. Everything that we know about the New York Jets from the past, I don't know, 6 to 8 weeks or so, lets me know that it is one of the most dysfunctional, unorganized, non-cooperative operations that is currently going in the National Football League. The Chiefs, they give off stability vibes. Think about it. They've had the same head coach for a decade. He and the general manager have a great relationship, great ownership group. The business CEO, Mark Donovan, has been in place for quite some time. Rob, the PR staff has been together basically your entire career. The Chiefs, they run a real tight ship. When was the last time that a rumor came out of the locker room about something that was happening between the players? When was the last time that you read an Adam Schefter anonymous report about something that was going on in the Chiefs locker room? I imagine they have things going on just like any workplace, just like any locker room. But you know what? It stays in-house. They give off the front of strength. They give off the front of stability that everybody is pushing in the same direction. Think about this year for the New York Jets. They fired their head coach. They fired their general manager. We got another anonymous report that the owner was contemplating benching the quarterback that you gave up all those assets to go acquire. You then made the trade for Devontae Adams. You changed play callers since then. You've changed offensive coordinators since then. It's been a disaster with the New York Jets. Did we think it was going to go any other way? I tell you guys this all the time, that teams take on the personality of their leader. Teams take on the personality of the best player. If your best player is somebody that works hard and gets to the gym early, you know what? Then everybody else is going to work hard and get to the gym early. If your best salesperson slacks off and comes in late and doesn't care, then that sets the tone. That sets the culture that's what everybody can do. We have known and seen enough about Aaron Rodgers to know he ain't running a tight ship over there. And part of the dysfunction that they feel comes from Aaron Rodgers. This is the same quarterback that had to go in the dark to determine if he even wanted to play for you guys' organization. This is the same quarterback that thinks that he can hire his homeboys for various roles. He thinks he's bigger than the team. And this is who you guys have put your organization's faith into? Well, it explains why you stink. It explains why the Jets have been the Jets, why they haven't been a Super Bowl contending team, why they don't make the playoffs, why they don't win, why they're bad. You know the last time that the Jets made the playoffs? It was in 2010. You guys want to know the last time the Jets had a winning record? Not just made the playoffs. I mean just a simple 9-win season. Rob, it was also 2010. You guys have gone almost 15 years without making the playoffs and without winning at least 9 games. That is earned. We have seen the more we find out about the Jets, the more explanation we get for why they've been the Jets, why they've been dysfunctional. Why they have been one of the bottom 10 organizations in the National Football League over the past decade. This season is an example. They tried to convince us that a 40-year-old quarterback who is coming off a significant injury, that he was going to be the savior. Well, they're 3-8. Well, they're going to have a top 10 pick. Well, they're going to probably need to draft a quarterback. And they need to get a new head coach. And they need to get a general manager. And they probably need to make some other moves. The Jets are the Jets, Rob. That's the moral of this story.
You know what's funny to me? And it's partly the Jets' fault. It's mostly Aaron Rodgers' fault. Remember when the Chiefs first went with this, no Tyreek Hill, we're going to have MVS, so that plan? The text line and the national pundits and a lot of people had the following take. Well, you can't do that. Look what happened in Green Bay. In Green Bay, they didn't surround Aaron Rodgers with everything he wanted, and now he left. You have to make Pat happy. You have to do it. Well, imagine if you didn't make Pat happy. Do you know what team has gone out of their way to make their quarterback happy at every turn?
The Jets.
Like, not just on the football field, which on the football field, they've done it a lot. From signing 97-year-old Randall Cobb to bringing in Devontae Adams on a massive trade to signing Alan Lazard to a major contract to Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. The list goes on. They've done it off the field, too. It was 12 months ago that Aaron Rodgers was warming up before a game at MetLife. And it was on Pat McAfee's show, and he was saying, hey, I might come back this year. Let's just see. You talk about how, you know, the Chiefs haven't squelched that rumor. The Jets never squelched that rumor, despite the fact that everyone with a brain realized you tore your Achilles 4 months ago. You're not coming back. But the Jets wanted to placate Rodgers, so cool. Live your life, Aaron. He didn't like Robert Saleh. That's the problem. See you later. GM built a bad roster. That's not Aaron's fault. See you later. It is possible that maybe doing everything in your power to go about making your quarterback happy is a bad path to building an NFL roster.
Coming up in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. We'll get his thoughts on this. Also, Chiefs and Bills, and look ahead to the second half of the season. So the Chiefs made a wide receiver move this weekend for somebody that's going to be on their practice squad. They added Tyquan Thornton. He was drafted by the New England Patriots. He did what most recent wide receivers do with the New England Patriots, which is fail. And now he is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about this because he is a guy who in three seasons has 39 catches for 385 yards and two touchdowns, and he's on the Chiefs practice squad. I don't really think there's a reason to spend a lot of time talking about Tyquan Thornton, but the quarterback was asked about him earlier. Here's what he said.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in season, haven't watched a ton of film on him, but just from the highlights that I have seen, I mean, a ton of big playability. Someone that is a big frame. I didn't realize how tall he was until he got in the building. I'm excited to see him on the practice field working, and I'm sure guys like Carson and them will give him chances downfield, and we'll get to see that speed. And so a lot of talent, a lot of ability, and I think it'll be good to get him worked in within the offense and see what he can do.
That was the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, commenting on Tyquan Thornton. He was drafted by the New England Patriots just a couple of years ago. He was drafted in the second round. He was the 50th overall pick in the 2022 draft. He is now on the practice squad for the Kansas City Chiefs after he was cut a few days ago from New England. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. He is our Chiefs reporter. He also does fantastic work for Sports Illustrated covering the team. Josh, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing okay, but I am really having to grapple with the fact that I have written about Tyquan Thornton twice in the last 2 days, and I've got so many serious Thornton takes. Whenever you need them, I got them for you. If that's next year at training camp, that's okay.
I'm sorry that you've spent any amount of time at your computer and you had to start typing things about Tyquan Thornton. I can't, not just one time, you did this multiple times. I can't imagine how boring that was.
Did it when the news came out, did it again this morning, writing about perhaps the end of the Cornell Powell era, the other most important thing that's happened to the Chiefs the last several days. I'll give you this. He was drafted at 50. That was right in a sweet little range of wide receivers. George Pickens at 52, Alec Pierce at 53, and then the Kansas City Chiefs took a receiver at 54.
Who is your favorite Chiefs wide receiver, shoulda, coulda, woulda? Because they've had a bunch of these in our lifetime. You can go back to Snoop Minix. You can go to John Baldwin. You can go to Cornell Powell. Who's your favorite Chiefs shoulda, coulda, woulda wide receiver?
No, it was unequivocally Jonathan Baldwin for me. I'd love for it not to have been, but they spent a first round pick on a wide receiver. And for me, in whatever reason, Dexter McCluster could also get a hand on this ball. I know he was kind of the OW, an offensive weapon there. But for me, Dwayne Bowe in 2007 and that entire like 07 draft, the year right after Tamba got there, like that would to me was sort of a diving into the Chiefs period of my life. And so Dwayne Bowe in 07 was enormous. They go back to the well for a first-round receiver in 2011 to draft Jonathan Baldwin, and I had my hopes up, man, and they were not rewarded.
What was your biggest takeaway from Chiefs and Bills? I led the show with on Monday that this defense, I think, has been one of the top units in the league the past year and a half or so, but the last 3 weeks, they've been kind of leaking oil a little bit. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went down the field and scored in regulation. They had a chance to go for two and take the lead late. They chose to kick the extra point. We know how that story ended. Bo Nix took them down the field and scored a touchdown, or excuse me, put them in field goal range with an opportunity to win that game. Special teams bailed them out of the fire. Andy put his confidence in this defense. It was less than 8 minutes to go. You simply just had to keep them out of the end zone. It didn't matter if they kicked a field goal. You give Mahomes another chance and you tell him what the rules are and trust that he can go down the field with an opportunity to score, and they gave up a touchdown. They gave up a long third down completion to Khalil Shakir. They also had a fourth and two where Buffalo decided to go for it. I put more of the onus of the loss on the defense. Where are you at from Sunday?
I think I probably put more blame for this specific loss on the offense, but I think the takeaway is on the defensive side. So it's a little bit of both, obviously, as it always is. But with the defense in particular, my biggest takeaway is that for a unit that's always about complementary strengths, I think we saw complementary weaknesses on Sunday. You saw a pass rush that could not get to Josh Allen with four, and we can dive into that as deep as you want on the fact that Joshua Uche played five snaps on this half-year rental. Like, how much of this has been reliant on George Karlaftis and Mike Dana and both of them underwhelming this year. But you can't get pressure from your edges without blitzing. And you have the issue of Najee Johnson just having a terrible day at the office against a great quarterback who picked on him. Like, that doesn't mean it's the end of his career, but it's a low point, and I don't love that he's, like, fighting about it on Twitter rather than trying to maybe take ownership of the fact that it was unequivocally a terrible day for Najee Johnson. There's also the Shamari Connor problem, which he's a very good player. He's a very interesting safety. He's hot. He's volatile. He'll sling past a pass catcher just as often as he'll blow one up for a great stop. We've seen him do that. He's a missile, but he's not a man coverage slot corner. And that's what the Chiefs have had him these last 2 weeks, because it can't be Chris Roland Wallace and it can't be Trent McDuffie, because then you're playing Joshua Williams and Najee Johnson. So for me, that the corner and pressure problems that they have really snowballed against a great quarterback and a really good offense, because defensive issues tend to do that against great quarterbacks.
Right now, Josh, are you more worried about left tackle or corner?
I'm more worried about corner, I think. I think Wanya Morris has shown that he can be just tall enough to ride the roller coaster, if you will. Kingsley obviously has not. And I think you gotta give Donovan Smith that call if you're not even confident having Kingsley active on game day. I'm more worried about corner because I think it's easier for opponents to pick on.
Right now, we're joined by Joshua Briscoe, getting his thoughts on Chiefs and Bills, also looking ahead to the game. The thing that I came away from Sunday is nothing really changed for Kansas City. They are still in line to be the one seed. I don't want to overreact to one thing. This organization got it wrong about Kingsley Suamataia. They thought he was going to be a day one starter at left tackle, and midway through the season, they don't even trust him enough to come in if a guy gets injured in their most important regular season game. And this team misses Jalen Watson way more than I thought that they were going to. Jalen Watson was having a really strong start to his season before the ankle. Now he's out. He misses some time. You tried to fill his shoes with Joshua Williams. You tried to fill it with a couple of other options. They aren't nearly as good as Watson was.
No, and I think, again, when you have multiple issues to cover there, when it's Connor in the slot and it's the loss of Watson on the outside that forces Johnson or Williams into that position, it becomes way, way harder for even a great defensive coordinator and a great defensive backs coach to be able to make life easier on those guys. When you have two absolute, no doubt, like, top-of-the-line starters, and again, Watson was like a legit high-end number two corner at bare minimum. He was really playing at that level, and that was a little bit of a surprise, frankly. He was playing late into that last preseason game, knocking the rust off, and then was playing great football. That, to me, becomes multiplicative, I suppose, where you see all of these issues stacking up and you give Josh Allen a glowing target to keep going back to over and over and over again. That's a very difficult way to live, and it becomes even harder for the defensive, you know, for the defensive coordination, essentially, to be able to cover up for some of those weaknesses. The thing that I'd be curious to see about, I guess it's also true for Kingsley, is Kingsley just going to be active next week, or is he on the bench the rest of the way? That's one side of it. I want to know if Joshua Williams can be, like, let free out of the shadow realm that he's been sent to since Najee Johnson got that starting job completely, like, given to him, I suppose. Williams has played meaningful snaps for this defense before. You can't really trust him in zone, and he makes a lot of mental mistakes. We've seen them on special teams and on defense. I understand why that makes him a hard guy to play, but he's pretty good, and man, he's a long corner. He is physical. I thought coming into the season, like before training camp, that he'd have the inside shot for that starting job opposite McDuffie. So I would be interested to see if we do get a little more Joshua Williams against Carolina. I'd love to see more Joshua Uche against Carolina, too. I do have a pro-Josh bias, I'm realizing right now.
Yeah, I don't really want a lot of Najee Johnson on Sunday. He might have lost that opportunity to be the number two corner.
Yeah, at this point, man, unless they are seeing something very different on film, it's hard to get beyond the fact. Maybe you want to say, hey, this is the first time you've really had an experience like that. We want to give you one more go against a less you know, high-octane offense. We will give you another go to see how you rebound off of that, but I don't want to see a repeat of that performance. I'd like to know that Williams is at least, like, an option.
Let me ask you a couple of hypothetical big picture questions about the Chiefs. If you could go back, would you still draft Xavier Worthy, or would you draft Xavier Leggett, or would you draft Ladd McConkey?
I saw your tweet about McConkey, who would be my next pick out of that list over Leggett, I think, at this point, partially just because I think the Chiefs would have been interested in McConkey. The thing that's tough is, so I guess if I get to go back in time right now, knowing that Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown both have serious injuries, I think McConkey gives you a better chance to win in 2024. I think with the version of the offense they were building at the time, the vision they had for how that group was going to come together, I think Worthy was a good pick. I would stand by that with the information we had at the time, and even the information information that we have now, I think him as a long-term pairing with Rashee Rice, and then having Hollywood Brown be able to do a lot more of those intermediate things and even some of the deep stuff that Worthy does here and there, I think this offense looks totally different. Good analysis by me. The offense is different with the team's top two receivers on it, but that's a differentiation for me. I wouldn't have been mad about McConkey at the time either, though.
If you could bring back Orlando Brown or L'Jarius Sneed to this team, which one would you pick?
Ooh! If L'Jarius Sneed's, like, practicing on a regular basis, I'd take Sneed.
If I set the over-under on games played for Hollywood Brown this year at 2.5, you taking the over or the under?
Is that including playoff games?
No, regular season games.
Under. Under. I think we're going to see a pretty low and slow ramp up, and I think you try to get him if he gets out there for two regular season games, hopefully a first round bye, maybe not, and then gets to be somewhat full speed for the playoff run, I'd take that right now.
Are you playing Isaiah Pacheco and Charles Omenihu on Sunday?
No, I'm not playing Omenihu. Pacheco, I really do kind of believe what Andy Reid says, like he would have tried to play 3 weeks ago if he could have. It's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I wouldn't hate Pacheco getting a few carries. You know, we're talking about a bone healing and everything there, so hopefully that's pretty binary. Omenihu, I just wouldn't rush at all at this point, man. He tore his ACL in late January. You got to take every breath of that time you can, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just don't really see what the value is in playing Isaiah Pacheco this week against Carolina. You don't need him to win this game, and after this, I mean, you have technically a short week, so I don't know why you would want him coming back from injury and then you turn around and play him on a short week. That's why I'm looking at Black Friday. You're at home. You're against a divisional opponent, and that still would give him six games. Maybe we'll see what happens for week 18, but that gives him, we think, at least five games of work to get ready for the postseason. So he gets an extended amount of time before they play their first postseason game, and they play him against some good teams. The Chargers have a good defense. Houston's a playoff team on the road against Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, they're bad. I don't want to make it seem like Cleveland's a good team by any means, but on the road against Cleveland, that's going to be a tough, you would think, hard-fought victory. I just don't really see the positives in playing Isaiah Pacheco this week. There's more negatives to me.
Oh, no, I would agree with that. I think that if he does, at least if I was in charge and saying, okay, we have to play Pacheco, fine. You're going to get 4 or 5 carries and 10 or 15 snaps just to give him something, another little signpost to hit, because again, it seems like he is really ready, champing at the bit and ready to go. It wouldn't bother me one iota for him not to be out there on Sunday. And look, you get one more game of Carson Steele trying to help maybe take a little bit of that load off Kareem Hunt's shoulders. You would like to see the Chiefs be in control enough against the Panthers where you're not sweating it out, running your hardest Kareem Hunt-based offense in the fourth quarter. It's a Chiefs game, so they probably will. But I'd like to see them be able to avoid that. I don't need to see Pacheco or Omenihu on Sunday at all, personally.
All right, I have two final questions before we get you out of here, and these are suspension-worthy questions, so I want you to really focus, and I want you to do your best. So all right. I asked Patrick this question, you know, because Cam Newton played for the Carolina Panthers. I would say my two favorite non-Missouri college football players are Cam Newton and Reggie Bush. Just loved watching them play. Who was that player for you? Back in college, Joshua Briscoe, just loved him.
The funny thing, I don't know if this is a suspension or not, it's just true. My parents went to Wichita State, who obviously has not had a football program in a very long time, and I went to Mid-America Nazarene University. So I don't really have like a in-my-blood college player affiliation. Vince Young is an absolute, like, above and I think Vince Young and Reggie Bush, but they're both like national polls for me, because I didn't really have like my team in that way. But those are the two guys that feel like watching a video game who I do look back on very fondly.
Okay, the next question is, I don't know if you saw this or not, but McDonald's is bringing back the McRib for the month of December. So let's say that we do a McDonald's draft and French fries are, you have the number two pick, and French fries obviously are off the board. They're the number one overall pick. What are you drafting at number two in a McDonald's food draft?
You call me Al Davis if you want. You can say I'm playing by my own board. I don't care. I'm going to the breakfast menu, and I'm looking at the breakfast sandwiches. I'm even considering a hash brown because there is another potato on the board, and I want to get – you know what? Given the opportunity, I will take a hash brown at number two. Give me my fried potato.
You know what? I don't hate hash brown with the number two overall pick. That's not what I would take at number two, but if you're telling me after the French fries the hash brown's the best thing that they have, I'm not going to fight you on that, Joshua Briscoe. You know what? We might have you come on the show two times next week. You might have earned an extra appearance on this show.
That sounds great to me, man. I'll be back. I'll bring potatoes. Sometime I'll come in studio and I'll bring you some Snickers. I'll bring you some hash browns. I guess they won't be selling hash browns at that point. We'll make this work, and I will come bearing gifts in a way that hopefully buys me maybe two consecutive weeks of safety.
You know what, man? I just can't wait to ask you next week, do you like sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie? And that's when we'll reinstitute a suspension.
All right, well, we'll talk to you next week, C-Dot. Appreciate it.
That is Joshua Briscoe joining us on the show. Happy to get his thoughts about what happened in the Chiefs and the Bills, and also look ahead to their game against the Carolina Panthers. Text line, I've been asking Rob this question. I've been asking other people this question. I guess we could ask you guys this question. You guys know how much I love Auburn Cam Newton. And Cam got drafted by the Carolina Panthers. Who was that college football player for you? I also have a Cam Newton thought that I've been holding on to. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, Rob, I made a little bit of a team of some of my favorite college football players to watch. I've been thinking a lot about that because Cam played for Carolina, and I'd rather talk about their old quarterback than their current quarterback. He's not going to be their quarterback for too much longer. So Cam would be my quarterback on my favorite college football team. Reggie Bush would be at running back. You know who I also really liked? I really liked Darren McFadden. Remember Darren McFadden? They had Felix Jones. I really liked Darren McFadden when he was in college. I was a big fan. A wide receiver, just to really show you that I really loved USC. You remember Mike Williams? Mike Williams was so good at USC. I don't remember what happened to him in the league. It's like he just stopped playing. But Mike Williams at USC was really good. And you know who my other wide receiver is. Peter Wark. Peter Wark was incredible at Florida State. Now on defense, now some of you know this, some of you don't know this. Tyrann Mathieu was the best defensive player I ever seen in college football. I'm serious. I know he's not the best college football player ever on defense, but if you guys were around for Tyrann Mathieu's sophomore season at LSU, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He was amazing. He was incredible. That's when we were still knocking college kids for smoking weed. That was a terrible time in sports. We were just getting mad at 19-year-olds for smoking weed. Now you can just walk to the store and just buy it. Back then, we were getting real ridiculous. Remember when we thought you were the dumbest human being ever if you smoked right before the combine? You used to wear like a scarlet letter. You had to wear an M on your chest because you smoked marijuana right before maybe the biggest day of your life. Terrible time in sports. I'm so happy that we're past that. And we don't have to sit around and a guy's out for four games because he smoked a pre-roll before the game. What a terrible waste of everybody's time. Tyrann Mathieu was the best defensive player I ever saw when he was at LSU.
I'm not disagreeing with your time, Matthew Take, but was he more dominant at LSU than Ndamukong Suh was at Nebraska?
I got him at number two.
Because
I got him at number two.
Suh at Nebraska was, I know there was social media, but it was a you had to be there kind of moment.
Yeah, like, you did have to be there.
Right now, you and I were both, that was a Big 12 team, that was a Big 12 North race then. Mm. You and I were following teams in that division. Does anyone remember who Nebraska's quarterback was that year?
I don't remember anything else about the team other than they had him. There's only been two defensive players that I've seen them win games. Tyrann Mathieu did that at LSU and Ndamukong Suh that year at Nebraska. Ndamukong Suh won games for them. Those are the only two defensive players, I guess you could maybe argue Travis Hunter, but Travis Hunter is going to have 1,000 yards receiving, that I could say, oh, those guys should have won the Heisman Trophy. Tyrann Mathieu should have won the Heisman Trophy. And also Ndamukong Suh. Both of those guys should have one.
Texas makes a great point. I agree with it. I hate Nebraska. Nebraska's the worst. They terrorized my team for basically three decades.
That's true.
But they got screwed in that Big 12 title game.
They did.
Suh gets pressure on Colt McCoy. He throws out of bounds in a panic because he saw the scariest man on earth coming to him. And they're like, oh, no, it's Texas. So you get 1 second left on the clock. Top
yeah, they'll let him kick
do?
A field goal.
Oh,
yeah.
It was the worst.
No, I don't disagree with you. I'm 100% with you. This has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but I can't continue the show without telling you guys this. Rob, have you seen Lindsay Lohan lately?
I saw that she's about to do a Christmas like Hallmark movie, so I've seen her like in trailers for that.
She's having a Kurt Warner like revival. What she's having. She was Kurt Warner with the Rams back in the day. Then for a while there, she was Kurt Warner with the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's Kurt Warner for the Arizona Cardinals. She's having an incredible second half of her career. I just saw her. She was on Fallon or somebody a couple of days ago. I'm telling you, very, very impressed with Lindsay Lohan. She's turned things around. It was rough there for a while. She had 15 touchdowns, 19 interception seasons there for a couple of years. She got sat down. We were thinking maybe she was out the game. Maybe she's retired. She's back now.
I believe her problem was self-inflicted penalties, though.
Definitely.
Kurt Warner was situational. She kind of shot herself in the foot, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I thought she was out the game. I really did. I thought she was completely out the league there for a while.
She's back, but she's not doing anything anyone will go see in theater. So is that really back? Like, no one's going to be like, man, she's back. I went and see her in this movie. No, it's your girlfriend or your wife is watching a Hallmark movie, and you're like, oh, that's Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, hold on, no. We're not going to – I mean, I'm not saying I watch these movies, but you know what you can have a really good life and really good career doing? Being in all those Hallmark movies. The one girl from Mean Girls – Chasey Cuthbert, I think that's her name. Lacey. That woman, she does like 20 of those movies a year. She's the queen of those Hallmark movies. No, if you get on one of those and you just stay where you just keep doing Hallmark movies, you can have an incredible career. So no, I'm not knocking. Hey, get back up on your feet. I'm sure they'll do a remake. You know, they'll have you remake Parent Trap or something. You just got to keep playing it low-key. That's what you got to do. Keep playing it low-key.
Did you mean to reference Parent Trap? Because you know they are quite literally remaking the Parent Trap.
I didn't know they were remaking it.
It's a sequel.
She going to be in it?
She's in the sequel.
Oh, well, good deal.
It was part of the Disney Expo, which I was watching for the Marvel stuff. Doesn't matter. I was watching the Marvel stuff, and they announced Freaky Friday 2. So I guess it's not Parent Trap, but Freaky Friday 2 is coming with Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan because... why not? Let's just live in nostalgia like it's 06 forever.
Since we were talking about the Giants, can we just continue talking about the Giants? Let's just talk about this. I'm sure there has been a situation or a scenario where your friend has come to you for advice and you told your friend exactly what was about to happen, literally what was going to happen. And your friend was emphatic that that wasn't going to be the case. Hey, man, what do you think about this business deal? I don't know, man. It kind of seems like a scam. What do you mean? Well, I mean, they're asking for money up front. They're not guaranteeing anything. Look at the reviews. I don't know. This doesn't sound like a good move. Man, you're talking. You just hating, man. You just hating. Okay, I'm telling you this because I love you. I don't think this is a good idea. Oh, man. Then maybe you and that person fall out because of the advice you gave them. And then maybe it's months, maybe it's years down the line. You and that person... meet back up again. That person comes up to you and says, man, you know what? You were right. I lost $6,000 in that deal. You were right. I should have listened to you. I apologize. That just happened to the Giants. Every single person listening knew you couldn't pay Daniel Jones. I don't know what it is with NFL quarterbacks. There's nothing that these teams love to do more than just rush to pay a very mediocre quarterback. They love it. We all knew that Daniel Jones was average. And the Giants, they just couldn't live with themselves if they just let Daniel Jones hit regular free agency. They could have let him just hit free agency. He could have been somebody else's problem. But no, we had to sign Daniel Jones to this guaranteed deal. How can we move on? This is the mistake that NFL teams make all the time. Making the playoffs is not that big of a deal. I know that we make it seem like it's the end-all, be-all. Almost half the league makes the playoffs. And just because you make the playoffs does not mean that you are on the path to winning a Super Bowl. There is a difference between being a Super Bowl contending team and a playoff team. And the Giants made the playoffs with Daniel Jones, and boy, they got all excited about it. We got to give them this money. Why? He stinks. Everybody knew that Daniel Jones stinks. It took you guys this long to figure out that he stunk. He's terrible. You know what Daniel Jones' future is? Backing up for Patrick Mahomes. You want to know what Daniel Jones' future is? Backing up for Josh Allen. He's Mitch Trubisky. He's Carson Wentz. The kid stinks. How could the Giants not see this? How are they fooled when the evidence was right there? The check engine light, it was flashing right before your eyes. You kept driving the car. You can't see that your car was about to overheat. You kept driving. They're like, oh, now you're stuck on the side of the road and you're confused. Like, how did this happen? Because you ignored all the signs. It's been there from the beginning. The kid stinks. Coming up next, speaking of something that's not good, we're going to be joined by Richard Deitch. He is a sports media reporter. He works for The Athletic. We're going to get his thoughts on Netflix. What do you think is going to happen coming up on Christmas Day? What's the future for streaming in sports? Also get his thoughts about Major League Baseball. Is Major League Baseball is trying to buy up individual rights for teams and package them together to an Amazon, to a Hulu, to create one universal package that doesn't have blackout rules. That is exactly what baseball needs. We'll get Richard Deitch's thoughts on it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.